King Rehoboam in 2 Chronicles 12, because it's almost unbelievable what he inherited from his father and how he lost it. So in 2 Chronicles 12, there's just a few of us tonight. I will take things slowly and give you an explanation that you might not get ordinarily. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass when the kingdom of Rehoboam was established, and he was strong, that he forsook the law of the Lord, and all Israel with him. Isn't that sad? Look at chapter 11, verse 17. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong 3 years, for they walked 3 years in the way of David and Solomon. And after 3 years, he's gone. And it says, now, when he's strong, he forsakes the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. And it came to pass, 12:2, in the 5th year of King Rehoboam, that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, because he had trespassed against the Lord. God gave him 2 years, but he did not repent and walk again in the ways of David and Solomon. And so Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, because he had trespassed against the Lord, with 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen. And the people were without number that came with him out of Egypt, the Ludim, the Suchiim, and the Ethiopians. And he took the fortified cities which pertained to Judah, and came unto Jerusalem. Now Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam, and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem, because of Shishak, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, you have forsaken me, therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Then the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves. I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service, and the service of the kingdom of the country. So, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house. He took all away. He took away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead shields of brass, and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard that kept the door of the king's house. And it was so that as often as the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and bare them, and brought them back into the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned away from him, so as not to destroy him altogether. And moreover, in Judah, there were good things found. Let's stop there for now. Let's pray again. Now, Father, we thank you that we have a meeting place to come to. Let us know that some are destitute, their homes are ruined, their lives are shattered. Our God, look upon them in mercy and give them something better than the material things of life. Let us know how easy it is for us to say it who have not been afflicted the way they have, but in wrath, remember mercy, our God. And we pray that, in particular from this event in the life of Rehoboam, we shall learn this night. Our God, do you think we stand? Let us take heed lest we fall. We would marvel that one who for 3 years could walk with you and be made strong could not understand that this strength came from walking with thee. And yet thou hast told us that he and all Israel departed from thee, and then you forsook them. Our God, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God, and it is a more fearful thing when you leave men to themselves and let them try to protect themselves. So let us learn from this. So our God, tonight, teach us from these portions. We confess our sins, be faithful and just as good and cleansed, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I gave you this verse, and it is one that should ground us and make us to understand that going on for the Lord is not a natural thing. Even though we've been born again, it is not a natural thing to go on for the Lord. Because it says in Galatians 5, the flesh fights against the spirit, and the spirit fights against the flesh. And because now that we have two natures, look at verse 14 in chapter 12. And he did that which was evil because he set not his heart to seek the Lord. And this is what happens to those who are saved, but do not purpose in their heart to seek the Lord and to cling to the Lord and to go on with the Lord, they fall away from the Lord. So it is not a determination at one time in our life that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That it is a determination that has to be renewed day by day by day. We have to set our hearts, or else we go along for 1, 2, 3 years, and then God blesses us, and we're strong, and we do not need God anymore. I know how to go through life now. I know how to succeed, and therefore it is not necessary for me to follow God as I have in my youth as a believer. And what happens is that having not set our hearts turn from good to evil, and then God abandons us. Do not forget it. God does not abandon us to hell, but he abandons us to our own invention. It's like those in 1 Corinthians 11 who reverence at the Lord's table, and because of that, God does not condemn them to hell, but some are weak, some are sickly, and some sleep, because they're still going to church, but in a heart that is controlled by sin, unconfessed, and God says, we shall not continue. So let us forget that. Let us be warned. Now, this is what is so amazing. Look carefully in chapter 12 at verse 9. Shishak, king of Egypt, comes against Jerusalem and he takes everything of value there. And it says, he took away the shields of gold that Solomon had made. What brother could give me an estimate of how much these shields of gold were worth according to what gold is worth today? You have any idea? Well then, let's turn back and read about the making of these shields. Turn back to chapter 9. Chapter 9. And we'll start at verse 15. 2 Chronicles 9:15. And King Solomon made 200 targets or bucklers. It's a large shield that's called a target or a buckler. If you look it up, you'll find in Old English language, the target is a buckler or a shield. And it said he made 200 of them, and they weighed 600 shekels of beaten gold, the one buckler. Now, I figured this out. The weight of a shekel of gold is a little over half an ounce, 0.64. So that's how much they weigh. And for that reason, one shield alone, one shield is worth $115,000. one. And he made 600 of them, and they are worth $69 million. That is the big shield. The little shields are worth $34,500,000. So these shields are worth in the value of gold today over $100 million. Now, let's turn back and see what he did. Turn back to chapter 12. No wonder when this king came, he took the shield of gold which Solomon had made. So when he overcame Jerusalem, God allowed all that wealth to be taken, and at this raid, he took over $100 million worth of gold. But let me show you what is so sad. When you read what Rehoboam did when it was all taken, verse 10, and King Rehoboam made in their stead shields of brass. I see. So, the father, in his glory and in his wealth, made shields of gold. But once these shields are taken, he has not the wealth of his father, and so he makes shields of brass. And I gave it a figure that brass is worth about $10 a pound, and at that evaluation, the replacement for $100 million was $9,000. And what does it mean? It means this. It means that this king, who at one time had splendor, and I must show you what I mean by having splendor. Look at verse 11. And it was so that as often as the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and bare these brass shields and then brought them back into the guard chamber. Now, at a distance, you might not be able to tell a shield of brass from a shield of gold. But the difference was this. For the first 3 years, when he was faithful to the Lord, each time he went into the temple of God, $100 million worth of gold accompanied him into the temple. But now that that is all gone, he cannot, in his poverty and in his nakedness, in lowliness, go to the temple clothed in sackcloth. And so what he does is to substitute shields and bucklers of brass, and then they are brought out on these occasions, and they accompany him into the temple, and after he goes to the temple and comes back, they put these shields away. And what has happened is this. It seems as if the same thing that happened the first 3 years happened the last 14 years. But it doesn't. He's going through the motion, but what is the difference in $100 million going into the presence of God and a $9,000 going into the presence of God? And so I thought of this, that some of us who have believed the truth of God and followed the truth of God are like going to worship God to the amount of $100 million. But then if there is hypocrisy, if there is pretension, if there is departure from the truth, but we still go into the presence of God, it's like coming into the presence of God not with shields of gold, but shields of brass. It's like this. When Martin Luther at first understood justification by faith, and he based his life upon the scripture that Christ is the Savior of sinners, for by grace are you saved through faith, when he worshiped God faithfully in that way, it's like worshiping God to the amount of $100 million. But when he died, and when his doctrine and the things that he stood for are taken away or lost to the enemy, but still they continue to worship, but not according to the truth of the Word of God, then it's like coming into God's presence with shield and glass. And that's a sad thing. And it's the same way as those who gather to the name of the Lord. If you read the history in the past, what a glorious thing it was when some left the denomination, where they had great cathedrals, where all of their ministers were dressed in glorious robes. They left all of that, and they would come together and gather to the name of the Lord in humble surroundings. And that's when they came bearing shields of gold. But then, when the conviction and the truth and the genuineness of all of that departed, they still come and gather to the name of the Lord the way we do. But let me ask you this. When you come to worship God, is it with a shield of gold or is it with a shield of brass? They look alike, and you can polish brass until it almost looks like gold. But let me tell you what. Take the shield of brass to one who purchases metal and ask him what he will give you for a shield of brass, and then bring a shield of gold and ask him what he will give you for that. And he will not be interested with great concern over that shield of brass, but he will look with admiration upon that shield of gold. And so what God would have us to do is to examine our souls and see if we are pure gold, purified 7 times in the furnace, or if we are those who once had a father like Solomon, had forefathers that believed truths, that were willing to die for those truths, that whatever the consequences, they would stand for the truths, the whole counsel of God. The Apostle Paul said, I shrank not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. But now, it's watered down, it's changed. Men have brought in their own inventions and their own doctrines, and have changed the truth of the Word of God to suit them and their religion. And I told you that some years back, one who goes to a high religion was asking me questions about the altar and the different forms of worship that they followed. He said, now which is correct? And I had to tell the man that none of this is correct. All of this is man's addition to what is in the Word of God. And I could have used this illustration. At one time, those with your group brought in shields of gold. But now, they've changed it, and they've brought in shields of brass. And you're asking me, which of these brass shields should we use today? None of them. Return to the shields of gold, and God will restore them. That is the thing that is of the greatest importance. And so, we have to be concerned, and yet some of us aren't. If we go with imitation, if we go in pretense, and people look at us, and give us a name and a reputation without truly examining the shields that accompany us when we worship God, why, that's one thing. But if they look and say, this isn't a shield of gold, it is a shield of brass, and then they will put a value upon us, not of $100 million, but of $9,000. And the sad thing is this, that some who in Christendom only have these shields of brass would put a value of $100 million upon shields of brass and would reverse it, and when we bring in shields of gold, they would place a value of $9,000 upon them. Isn't that a sad thing to consider? That the gold is exchanged for brass and man would have it so. Listen to some of the religious music today, and you will see that what we sang, listen to this, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, with no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. That is beautiful. That is theology. That is truth. and I've listened to some of this music, and it sounds to me as if it's rock and roll, and they keep saying the same words over and over again. It's all about me, oh me, oh me, oh me. And all of this will draw the crowds, and they have all of these strange instruments and orchestras, and they carry on and on, and they say, this is gold. But I want you to know that it's brass. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts. And so you read some of the psalms that God has given us, and then you read some of the music that is given us today, and you'll say, but there is a great difference. And what is so sad is this. I've heard it, and they try, and they give us the very words of Scripture. But in some of the choruses, with the very words of Scripture, they have no power, and they have no worth. So that is the way things are to me. I must tell you this, that at one time, I was at a conference, and some dear friends were with us, and someone got up and sang one of these modern songs with no theology, with no depth. And what is so sad is this. There is a simple way of singing, and let me commend some that I've heard that do away with all the embellishment that man has put on today. But there is a certain way that modern people sing. They do not sing this way. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. They'll say, Jesus loves me, this I know. And they add all of these things, and they take on a kind of voice that is unnatural, and they put all the flesh into it. And when people hear it, they say, that's wonderful. But it's nothing but a manifestation of the flesh. And what was so sad is that these people that should have known that went to the conference with us, a sister stood up and sang this kind of music, and it was so embarrassing I wanted to hang my head, because she sounded as if she were one of these nightclub singers, or one that sings this rock and roll music. She sang it in the same kind of voice that was unnatural, and yet we were so ashamed we wanted to leave, and afterwards our friends came to us and said, the highlight of the conference was when that sister sang that song. Isn't that sad? What did they say? They looked at shields of brass, and they said, they are shields of gold. And so you have to simply take that as my estimate of what is good. But understand that when they take away one thing that once was true glory, man will substitute something that is inferior glory. All right. I could tell you much more, but all I will do is this. I will just look at the last closing verses concerning Rehoboam. And so look now at verse 12:15. Now the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the histories of Shemaiah the prophet and Iddo the seer, after the manner of the genealogies? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David, and Abijah his son, reigned in his stead. So he started out wealthy and glorious, and he ended in poverty and in warfare. His father had the true glory. The Lord Jesus, I said this morning to you, I read it to you. Here is the glory of Solomon, in his wisdom, but also in his splendor. The Savior says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So what happened was that Rehoboam at the start had all the glory of his father. And at the end of his reign, the glory, the wealth was all gone, and the peace, Shilomot, Solomon means peace. And the nations were afraid of Solomon, and God gave him peace. But all is changed. Why? Because it says, Rehoboam set not his heart to serve the Lord. So let us learn these lessons. Now, that's enough. Let's pray. Now, Father, we pray that you shall Forgive us for anything that is counterfeit in our lives. Forgive us, Father, for lacking discernment. We remember that the Apostle Paul prayed, and this I pray, that you may abound yet more and more in all knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent and be void of offense. Our Father, please teach us the things that are excellent. Let us be able to distinguish gold from brass and light from darkness and excellence from mediocrity. And let us in our humility understand that if we are doing the will of the Lord, this is gold. And all that man adds to it and caters to the flesh, this is brass. Give us understanding, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Reading is over.